Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Today's guest is somebody who has been a big part, obviously, of what the Giants have done over the last decade, but more so over the last month, has been a big part of the story in spring training, and I think really will be probably the biggest story over the next 2 weeks. It's Matt Cain, the longest tenured Giant, and the biggest story going forward. I mean, we have Mike Morse, we have Jimmy Rollins, Aaron Hill, all those guys trying to win roster spots. But I think the biggest story until opening day is going to be seeing if Cain can hold off Ty Block and win that fifth starter spot. And it's really an interesting time in that race. Cain came in as the heavy favorite. Hasn't had a great spring so far, 16 hits in 10 and a third innings. ERA is up around 10. At times has looked good. At times has looked like the guy we've seen the last couple of years. And Ty Block really was pushing him pretty hard. And up until Wednesday, I think Wednesday morning, there was a lot of talk around camp of where this race was going. And then Ty went out and had his worst outing of the spring. So an interesting time for those guys, a big couple weeks ahead for him. And it starts Friday night. Matt is starting in a televised game that's on NBC Bay Area on Friday night, so you can watch him in person, and that's obviously a big start for him as he tries to keep his spring going and get back on a roll and try to lock up that number five spot. So big start Friday. You can watch it on TV. For now, you can listen to him on the podcast. A long interview here, talks about quite a few things. We touch on, you know, not just the battle he has, but the teaching he is doing of Block and Beattie and guys like that, and this new CBA and looking back at his perfect game, a bunch of things. Here is Matt Cain. The second half last season, when you look back, what's your best explanation of kind of what happened?
I mean, it's just one of those situations where we got into a funk and we couldn't do much about it. We felt like we were trying everything, and maybe that was a downfall. Maybe we should have just tried to keep going with what we done in the first half, but you know, as an athlete, you're trying to make adjustments, and sometimes it doesn't work. You know, and we were able to push through to get to the playoffs. It just didn't finish like we all needed to.
I know a lot of guys in the second half were talking about, well, we have Madison. If something happens, we have Madison in that game. Well, he ultimately did. You've seen so much from him, but to see him go do the exact same thing that he did 2 years before, did that surprise you in any way?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, we've seen what he's done for the years he's been here, and you know, how he steps up in those big situations in the playoffs. You know, that's what we have him for.
You're the veteran here, but you show up and Cody Ross is a coach, Javi Lopez is a coach, Jeremy Affeldt's coming in, they're broadcasters. What's that like for you? Just, is it weird? I mean, a lot of these guys are close friends with you too.
Right. Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, even with seeing guys, you know, earlier, you know, playing against or playing with Dave Roberts, you know, and some of these other guys, like now all of a sudden they're in the managing playing with Matheny. And then you're seeing guys that are closer team-wise or age-wise now starting to coach and actually, you know, coming in to help us. It was a little different. You know, got, you know, Cody out there hitting fungos to us in PFPs is a little different. So I was making fun of him. That's pretty much what he did when he played anyway. So it was good. We've had fun with it. And it's actually nice, though, because, you know, those guys are still – they still understand what's going on. And they're close enough from just getting out of the game to be able to relate. Because definitely when you get a little bit of distance from being able to play, you know, you might – it's just natural. You kind of forget some of the really, really hard times, and you forget how difficult it is.
Do you get bragging rights? I mean, these guys are playing golf. These guys are in the broadcast booth. You're out there starting every 5 days.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I think FL still got me on service time, so maybe I'll have to sneak some more years in to be able then to brag to him about that. You know, same with Lopi. So it's Ropley's got his rings. Maybe get another ring, and then I can say something to him. But, I mean, you like to be able to see that, hey, you know what, guys are, you know, you're able to keep playing a little bit longer. But, you know, that's just for fun, really.
For you, I think the biggest thing coming into this season is just being healthy. And no surgery, no cysts. What did that allow you to do in January and in early February as you started to prepare for a pretty big spring?
Actually enjoy going out and throw. Not having to sit here and worry about, hey, is my body going to actually allow me to try to prepare for the spring training that I want to have, and go about it like I've done in the past. And it's definitely been difficult the past 2 years, actually being able to come in and enjoy actually being at the field, because I didn't know what my body was going to allow me. I didn't know what my mind was going to allow me to do. And, you know, it was a constant grind day in and day out of actually enjoying being at the baseball field and going out there and actually having fun like I'd always done.
Can that be, even a decade in, be refreshing? I know I've asked you a million times, and how are you feeling today? And I'm sure you're sick of those questions.
Yeah. And
saying it feels like an arm, but you really do. I mean, now your arm feels like it's supposed to.
Right. I mean, yeah, it feels like it's supposed to. I mean, it's not going to feel like it did when it was 22, but that's me understanding that, you know what, my body is not going to be able to do some of the things that it did, and I've got to adjust. I've got to learn how to pitch with my strengths that I have now and maybe get a little more creative and start to understand that, you know what, if I make good pitches in good location, I've still got plenty of ability to be able to go out there and take it deep into a game and, you know, like I'm supposed to be able to do.
Do you feel a different kind of, at this point in your career, a different kind of pressure in terms of, I know you've been on the big stages and you've been the ace of the staff, but now it's more of, I mean, there are guys nipping on your heels a little bit. Is that different than it's been in the past?
Yeah, it is, but it's kind of how the game works, you know? I mean, as you're coming up, you're kind of that guy, you know, chasing people down to be able to take their spot, and then you get comfortable. You've got your spot in the rotation, and then, you know, as time goes on, you know, you're not able to do what you were able to do, maybe velocity-wise or, you know, numbers-wise. So guys are going to come up to try to be taking your spot, and it's my opportunity to be able to say, hey, you know what, I'm still competitive. I still have enough fire in me to go out and keep those guys and fend those guys off, you know. But you know what, the competition is great, I think. I've talked with, you know, Beattie about it. I'm like, hey, I want you to take my spot, but you're going to have to take it from me. I'm not going to give it to you, you know, and that's how I want to go about it. You know, I don't have a problem with those guys coming up and trying to push me, because that's good for all of us.
The one thing everybody says, I mean, going back to Madison, is you're the guy who greets them. You're the guy that they look to. I know it was the same way with Lopez and Affelt and these guys. How do you balance, or is it a balance, I guess, when you have these kids who you want to help them figure out what big league camp is about, but also the understanding that, I mean, they're coming for your job.
And that's fine. I think if you look at it as a threat, that's when you'll be worried about not giving those guys information. I feel like that's what was nice, is when guys actually gave me truthful information. They weren't afraid of me maybe taking their spot as the young guy, because they wanted to see me do well. I want to see those guys do well, because you can't play forever, you know, you just can't do it. Those guys need to be able to come in and be able to take the tradition, to wear the Giants logo and say, you know what, these guys helped me along, and they're going to do the same thing to the guys, because ultimately we want those guys to be able to step in and be able to take over roles and be able to win championships down the road. And I mean, yeah, honestly, it's like, it's great, because we might have had a little hand in that 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see these guys in the World Series or whatever, dealing, and you're like, you know what, I might have helped him just a little bit about talking to him about, hey, you know what about that one pitch you were thinking about in spring training 5 years ago, and it helps, you know, on the big stage.
These kids coming up now, everybody throws 97, 98. I mean, that's not in your arm anymore, but the velocity for you last year, it's more than enough. I think you showed at times to go out there and do what you need to do. What do you pinpoint is kind of the not having to worry about velocity, not having to worry about the fact that you can throw your pitches. What do you pinpoint is really the key for you?
That's the biggest thing. Is I got a little carried away with it, really thinking about, hey, I need to get velocity. I need to get velocity. And I was taking myself out of actually being deceptive and using some of my strengths of being able to throw at a comfortable speed, whatever that speed is, and locate, move the ball around, and be deceptive. You know, you think back to the guys that I faced, you know, like Chris Young. I mean, he sat there and just threw fastballs and fastballs and fastballs, and he used his deceptiveness of being almost 7 feet tall to his advantage, you know, and sometimes you have to think back on that, that those guys did that later on in their career, and that's what kept them around in the game, and you've got to be able to do that. And, you know, it's the stubbornness sometimes that us of athletes, we've got to kind of let that go, and it's not always the easiest thing to do, especially like you're saying. Yeah. You see a bunch of guys that the league, everybody throws 94 to 100, it seems like, right now, and especially the starters, you know, and you're like, wait a minute, I used to be able to do that. Why can't I do it now? But, you know, I've still got to use what's successful for me.
Got to remind yourself not to be that young guy who throws a pitch, looks back at the gun.
Yeah, and sees where exactly. Well, that's hard to do. It's a hard habit to do because, you know, when you've always been able to do that, you know, it's fun to look up there and say, hey, you know what, I threw that one 94, 95. But it's no fun looking up there when it's 91, 92, and the ball never comes back to you. Yeah. You know, it's more fun when the ball actually comes back to you.
You guys don't, not really a hard-throwing staff, but a very, very talented staff. You've seen the groups with Timmy, and you've seen an older group with Hudson and Jake Peavy. Now you have this staff with Madison and Cueto and Matt Moore and Jeff Samardzija. How do you compare it to what you've seen come through here?
Honestly, I feel like this is a staff that has got kind of every component to it. I feel like when you're going to face all five of us, you're going to get a different look out of all of us, and I think that's a benefit for our team, and it's a disadvantage for a lot of guys that are going to see us. Because two guys are throwing back-to-back, they're not going to be similar. We're not going to be throwing the same. You know, if you look back, like Peavy and I, if we throw back-to-back days, or Vogie and I threw back-to-back days, our stuff was similar velocity, guys. You know, and I don't know if it was an advantage to be the guy that threw the first game or the second game, but I feel like, I mean, you've got Bum, Cueto's going to give you a different look. You've got, you know, Moore's going to give you a different look from the left side, and then Samardzija. You know, it's just, I feel like we've got a lot of different looks that guys are going to have to try to adjust on, and I think it's up to us to be able to take advantage of that.
Do you guys talk as a group? I mean, there's a lot of attention paid to what's going on in New York, the deep staff the Dodgers have put together, but do you talk about what this group of five is capable of?
I think we know. I think we're a group of guys that we understand what we're capable of doing, and you know, now we need to be able to go out there and perform, and be able to, as the five guys, and the way we've always thought about it is, hey, let's lead the team, you know, into a good month, the first month, and let's carry that. Let the guys get to start to swing in it. We're not worried about the defense. You know, let's do that as a staff to be able to get things rolling right off the bat.
I'm going to take you off the field finally. You've been the long time, I mean, since you were the young guy in here, kind of the Players Association leader and the guy who does all of that. There's a lot of turmoil right now I know the CBA came about, but in terms of what the league might want to do with pace of play and all that, how do players react to that, and what do they think as a group going forward of what you guys want to do?
I think we want what's good for the game. We want to be able to keep furthering the game, to keep improving it, for fans to come out and enjoy it, and to keep growing. And I think that's what both sides want to do. And it's just depending on if we can always come to an agreement and find the best way to do that without changing the integrity of the game on the player side of it. You know, we want to be able to know that nothing that is going on, whether it's a shot clock or, you know, guys stepping in out of the box or, you know, whatever. We just want to know that the game is still, you know, as solid as it was, you know, when it first started.
The final thing, this is 2017, which means this is the five-year anniversary of your perfect game coming up. Do you think about that night still? Is that one of those things that you put until retirement, or is it something that every once in a while I'm sure you have memorabilia from it and all that.
Yeah, I do, and it's something definitely that I think about a decent bit, you know, because it's hard not to sit there and go, you know what was I doing that night? or what happened so special that night that didn't happen other nights. And, you know, like, I think the more that I've really actually dug into it is I was in that moment. I was really aware of what my body was doing. I was just aware of every situation. And in a weird way, my mind wasn't on. I was just letting the physical ability come out. And I had some amazing talent behind me, you know, Blanco's catch, Cabrera's catch. We had a ton of offense that night. You know, it was, there were so many things that went into it that when you really start to sit there and think about it, it was, it's not a one person gig. It's all of us. And that's what's fun is, you know, we talked about like being able to, that's what me and Blanco will always be tied to. You know, it'd be sad not to see him, but that's a special moment for all of us.
Well, you'll see him. He'll be in the box.
Yes. Yeah, we'll get him on the other side of it.
Matt, thanks for the time.
Definitely.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.